Please turn with me in your Bibles here tonight, congregation, to the Gospel of Luke as we continue that series of that New Testament Gospel account of the life of Christ. Turning tonight to Luke chapter 7 and that song of faith that we just sang, Jesus here points out cannot be sung by everyone. That there is a clear antithesis in this world between those who believe and those who do not. That's what Jesus is pointing out here to us. And we learn of that here tonight. So Luke chapter 7, we're going to begin reading at verse 18 and reading just through verse 35. So it's really the middle section here of Luke chapter 7. Beginning at verse 18, congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you tonight. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. And so he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." And after John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' And I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. And yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to each other, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May His Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts as we consider this fascinating passage of Scripture together here tonight. I draw your attention to our text for this evening, verse 28. Verse 28 in Jesus' words, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Let's ask God's guiding hand upon His word as it's brought forth here this evening. Father in heaven, we do pray for a special blessing upon our hearts and our minds so that we might understand these words of our Savior here tonight. We might understand the clear distinction between those who believe and those who do not. Lord, we would pray, give us the faith to believe. Make us of your own people so that we will understand your will for our lives and that we might walk hand in hand with you. Remove any and all distractions from us, for the devil would want nothing to do with these words tonight. Lord, grant us your blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name alone we ask all of this. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I must admit to you here this evening, beloved, that the verses of our scripture that we have before us as our text has frustrated me for many years. Often I've wondered about the meaning behind these verses. Jesus is talking, as you can hear, in his favorite paradoxical way. Now, what unbelievers would then call his illogical and absurd way. And of it, it is true. It's true. It's a difficult statement to understand. In fact, it is outrightly impossible to understand if you do not have first the Holy Spirit guiding and leading and directing you. If you do not have a basic understanding and knowledge of the one story that runs all throughout Holy Scripture. Those who do have the Spirit leading and guiding them understand then and will take the time to learn this passage and apply it to their hearts. Those who do not have the Spirit leading and guiding them neither want to take the time nor will they make the effort that it takes to understand the many paradoxes that God reveals in His Holy Word. Nor do they much desire to strive to know the one story that Scripture reveals in both the Old and the New Testament. The one story that all of Scripture is the story of redemption, of how God has a people called out unto Himself, and how there's also another people that do not understand. The antithesis, beloved. How God Almighty first elected, then died for, then called out a special people, making them holy unto Himself, and also leaving in their own sins the whole other group of people, the reprobates. And you see, congregation, so if you are not one of those holy and elect people, if the Holy Spirit is not working within your heart, then that story of redemption really doesn't much interest you at all, does it? You'd much rather go your own way in life. It's not worth your while to put forth the time or the effort to try to understand the paradoxes that are found, such as in our text this evening. But for those who are of the elect, for those who have the Spirit alive and working in their hearts, then this is the greatest story ever told. Then these paradoxes, while to our human minds may appear to be illogical, even absurd, yet to our Spirit-led hearts, they are full of beautiful and comforting truths. Hard to understand truths, yes, to be sure. But truth nonetheless. God's truth meant for God's people. And so as God's people here tonight, we do want to put forth the effort to understand our Lord's words in this passage of Scripture this evening. Jesus makes two statements to us in our text tonight. Two seemingly very contradictory statements. And we want to study them now. Look first with me at the first one, verse 28. Look at it again. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Now stop right there, beloved. This is the first point of the sermon here tonight. And if we remember the historical context into which John and Jesus were both born, then we can fairly easily understand what our Lord is saying here. John the Baptizer we know to be the last of the great Old Testament prophets, even though he was born just months before Christ. Even though his birth account is found in the New Testament books, yet we consider him to be one of the Old Testament prophets. And beloved, this is because of his vocational calling, his job description, if you will. And that description can be found back in Luke chapter 1. So turn to that with me. You're not far from it. Luke chapter 1. In fact, we looked at this not long ago during our Christmas Advent series. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. I'll give you just a little bit of background here. John's father, Zechariah, is a priest. And it was finally his turn to go into the temple and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar. Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Start to give him the name. Be afraid, Zechariah." The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar.'" Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. 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 Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give, and you are to give, and you are to give him.'" Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear the temple and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar.'" Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar.'" Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear to the temple and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar.'" Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the Elizabeth will bear you a son.'" I'll give you just a little bit of background here. John's father, Zechariah, is a priest, and it was finally his turn to go into the the temple and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar. Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son in the temple and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give gifts of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son on incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Elizabeth will bear you a son." Finally, his turn to go into the temple and offer up the daily sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar. Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. It happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the gift of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name incense upon the golden altar. Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. The sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age." And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a. Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a sacrifice of incense upon the golden altar." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy, and a delight to you." Usually that happens just once in a priest's life by the time of the New Testament age. And when he does that, look at what happens. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." This part especially. Here's his job description. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink." In other words, he's to be a Nazarite. That's a Nazarite vow. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophet. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one, of God's Old Testament prophets, to make ready a. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets, to make ready a people, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make right, that's a Nazarite vow, and he will be. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets, to make ready a people to right vow, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets, to make ready a people prepared, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people, Nazarite, that's a Nazarite vow, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to spirit and power of Elijah before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Lord their God. To the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Lord their God. To back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Lord their God. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Lord their God. To stand before people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Lord their God. To stand before them and to confidently bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there, beloved. That is exactly the calling of every single one of God's Old Testament prophets. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To call the hearts of the people back to the Lord their God. To stand before them and to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Stop there.